Did you know that we started looking at the Sermon on the Mount all the way back in June? We started June 23rd, toward the latter half of June, and toward the beginning of November, we will be finishing it today, looking at the last four verses of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. So it's been a long journey, but it's been a great one. This is certainly some of the best passages and the most foundational passages of Christianity. And in fact, we'll see that that is very much the case in this lesson. Some of the most expensive areas of real estate in the country, even in the world, there's along the coast, isn't it? People, they just love oceanfront property. You're right by the beach, you have nice breezes, temperate climate. What do you think the homeowner's insurance, though, is at a place like the beach? Boy, that's through the roof, isn't it? They're so high because the insurance companies are convinced you'll need it more than perhaps in any other location. You have sandy beaches. Now, they really try to make the foundation secure in places like that, but ultimately, it's sand. And then you have erosion all over the place. You have hurricanes, potentially, at least down on our beaches, anyway. You have such things as this. Brethren, let us not build our houses on sand. The cost is so great. Let us build smarter, build better, on more solid foundations. Let's take a look at what Jesus means, or what Jesus says here in this particular passage. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Y'all familiar with the kids' song that is based off of this particular passage? I'm sure many of you are. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up, and the wise man's house stood firm. We're not going to keep going. But ultimately, the next verse talks about the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains came down, the floods came up, and the house went splat. But the next verse, you might be familiar with it. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. The blessings come down as the prayers go up. What a wonderful song to teach our kids. Building our foundation on the rock that is Christ. This is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus is our foundation. But not him specifically, but the words that he spoke, right? We might say that based on his teachings, that the foundation is what he taught, right? In fact, in Ephesians, we see something like this as well. In Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about that the foundation is the apostles and the prophets, and Christ is the chief cornerstone. So in any kind of foundation, you're going, at least back then, it's probably done similar these days. I'm not sure. I'm not a construction worker. But you have a chief cornerstone. You have this first stone that you lay in order to build the rest of the foundation based on where that location is. And so that's where Christ is. He is the chief cornerstone. And the apostles and the prophets are the rest of that foundation. And we're not talking about them specifically, but what they wrote, what they taught. And ultimately, that foundation we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is Jesus Christ. He is that foundation and what he taught. And we can see plainly here that whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, and in the context of this, he's talking about the Sermon on the Mount. So we see just how important this Sermon on the Mount is. Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. This lesson is sort of a capstone. So I think Sam was talking about this on the Wednesday night class, that the capstone is placed on top of the house and holds the house together. And that's pretty much what this lesson is, what these last few verses of the Sermon on the Mount, what they talk about. It's sort of a capstone of what is talked about here, the rock and the sand. So let us build our house on the rock, the first point. We see again the importance of the things taught here on the Sermon on the Mount. We must, in verse 24, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, we must hear and do. It's not good enough simply to, even what you're doing right now, it's not good enough simply to sit here and listen to what's being taught. That's important. I'm not negating that at all. But it doesn't do you any good if you don't do it, if you don't follow through. And we can see this here. One must hear and do. Jesus emphasizes hearing throughout the gospel accounts. We see countless times where he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus says this also in the book of Revelation, in chapters 2 and 3, when he's talking to with the letters to the seven churches. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So this is at the beginning of the New Testament and at the end. And no doubt that concept is found throughout, hearing and doing, right? No doubt this is also found in the Old Testament. From beginning to end, we hear the importance of doing. James has some interesting things to say about this in James chapter 1. Let's turn to James chapter 1. We're going to look at this for a few moments. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. James writes, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Are we not fooling ourselves if we are not doers? We are, aren't we? Just like those who cried, "Lord, Lord," in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, that we talked about a few weeks ago. They were doing so many great things. Perhaps they even heard the word, but they weren't doing the Father's will. They were deceiving themselves. "Lord, haven't we done so many great things in your name?" Jesus says, "Depart from me. I never knew you. You're practicing lawlessness." That's what he says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. Those people were deceiving themselves. Let us not be in a position where we deceive ourselves and not do the things that we hear. Verse 23, James chapter 1, verse 23. "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." You know, memory is a tricky thing. This simile that James gives, it always gives me a bit of a chuckle. I don't know if it does for you, but I think about situations like this. Have you ever walked into a room and forgot why you did it? Carol's like, no, I've never done that. Have you ever looked at a clock twice because you forgot immediately what time it was? Memory is a tricky thing, you know? And I chuckle at the idea of, oh yeah, I look like that in the mirror. But you know, sometimes it can also be very sad, a very sad thing. Many of you are familiar with the struggles that Sam and Sarah have had with Sam's mother, Joyce, about her memory loss and the difficulties that they've been facing for 10 years, having to live with that particular memory loss. How many times a day they had to remind her why she was even living there. Doing that every day, several times a day, for 10 years. He's told me about that a bit, and I asked him if it was okay to talk about this a little bit, and he said it was. And he told me before that that was very frustrating, especially for Sarah, not as much for Sam, but for both of them, very frustrating. And I can imagine it is very frustrating to have to deal with that kind of memory loss. But, you know, God is like that with us. Are we not forgetful creatures? Do we not forget what has been said in the scriptures time and again? That's one of the reasons why we come to worship, why we come to church to worship God, but also to hear the message, to study God's word. Because no doubt I'm not telling you anything you've never heard. Well, some people maybe, but for the most part, especially the older and more mature members, you've heard this stuff before. But it's good to be reminded. Because we need to be reminded. You know, I have, not to brag or anything, I went to college, I have a degree in physics and astronomy, and I've been trying to brush up on that a little bit for a lesson in apologetics, and boy, does my brain hurt. It has been a long time since I've looked at stuff that detailed and that kind of background. And so, yeah, if you don't use it, you lose it, right? And so we forget things like this. And so it's good to be reminded. And in here, we're reminded every week of what God has done for us, of what His Son was willing to sacrifice on the cross. And we see that, and we participate in that every week, every Lord's Day with the Lord's Supper. We are in need of being reminded of that constantly. He's like that with us sometimes. He patiently, lovingly reminds us of many things. Because of this, let us do the right thing. Let us do what He wants us to do. Continuing in James chapter 1. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. After all, if we do what he says in that passage that we will be blessed, perhaps materially, but definitely spiritually, we will have his blessings. And this is the kind of blessing, this kind of blessing that we will receive will give us a firm foundation on which to build our lives, on the foundation of Jesus, on the foundation of his teachings, and in particular, his teachings here in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. This foundation is needed for when times get tough. If you've never had a tough moment in your life, just wait a minute. It's coming. And I hate to say that, but it's true. That's how life works. Tough times come, and tough times go. And the question is, how will you weather it? What kind of foundation do you have? Rain, floods, and wind, they beat on that house. You know, and I don't pretend to know all the struggles that you're facing. I have had my own struggles in my life, as we all have. Yours may be different than mine. Yours may be the same. whether they be failing health, financial struggles, some with lost loved ones, various temptations that you might be facing. I could go on. There are so many things that we might be facing. How are we going to weather it? How are we going to deal with it? If we keep in mind his teachings, and not only that, but we do them, we will not fail. Our house will be built on the rock. Not just any rock, but the rock of Christ. The rock of his rock and his teachings. What happens when we build our house on the sand? What happens when we hear and fail to do? We see this in verse 26. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. What happens when that occurs? Well, how has it worked for you so far? We all at some point have failed to live up to the standards that Christ gives here. In the Sermon on the Mount and throughout his Gospels, all of us have failed at some point or another. How many of us have ever hated our brother? How many of us have lusted after someone that we should not have? How many of us have lied, struck back, hated our enemy? How many of us have shown off? How many of us have perhaps prayed improperly? How many of us have held a grudge, served another master? How many of us have worried and, in essence, not trusted God? How many of us have judged improperly? How many of us have failed to ask, to seek, to knock, to ask the right questions, to seek the right answers, to knock on the right doors? And if we do those things, how many of us have failed to do so diligently and consistently? How many of us have treated others poorly? How many of us have disregarded the Father's will? We all have at some point or another. That's what makes us sinners in need of a Savior. But what is the outcome of doing these things? The outcome, according to this passage, is your house will fall because you have been on that broad way that leads to destruction. And Jesus will say, "Depart from me." You see, as I've mentioned, this is a high bar to reach. All the things talked about in these three passages, the bar is set so high. How can we hope to meet it? It teaches us that going the route of going against these things, that's not the answer. You know, it might be easy for us to hate our enemy, as somebody who does something against us, and we want the worst for them. We don't want them to succeed at all. We want them to fail. That's not the way to go. Somebody cuts us off in traffic, and we hate that person. And then you find out that's actually a brother or sister in Christ. We hate that person. That's not the way to go. The way to go is love one another. The way to go is following his teachings and the Sermon on the Mount. Failing to do these things means you have built for yourself a house of cards. A house of cards. Every one of us has built something for ourselves, have we not? We've built up something. I don't mean in the material sense necessarily, but we've built up our own support systems, both internally and externally. Externally, we have our friends, we have our family for support. Perhaps we have a therapist, maybe. I don't know, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I recommend that. That's a good thing. But someday, our friends may forget us, our family may abandon us, and we might run out of money for the therapist. Internally, we try to make sense of the world with our own limited understanding of how the world works. We have either made sense of the world with God's help, or we've made sense of the world without it. Without God's help, without our support system, our help, our house is a house of cards. What happens with a house of cards? Just a small breeze will topple it over. Take out one card, the whole thing falls apart. If you have a properly built house, boy, those things last. Those things last. Some are weaker in the faith than others. That much is a fact. We see this throughout the scriptures in several different places. Romans chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We see that there are those who are weaker in the faith than others. The weakest among us may fall apart at the first sign of trouble. The first time something goes wrong, well, I'm just going to stay at home. I'm not going to worship. I'm going to leave God. I'm going to leave the faith. See, we might even lose our faith. We might stop going to worship. We might stop studying. We might stop praying. But you know what? All of those things that we might stop, they're intended to boost our faith. They're intended to help us weather those storms. And yet we abandon them. Why? Why? As a personal story, we got a few minutes. When my father passed away, he had committed suicide. And it was a shock to everybody. But I had a strong church family that I was with, helping me, supporting me through that time. I didn't lose my faith. In fact, my faith grew stronger because of it. A few years previously, my mother died of cancer, and I had just moved to a particular place, didn't know the church very well, and I felt like I was so alone. But I didn't lose my faith. Even when I didn't have that support system around me at that time, I didn't lose my faith. I stuck with it. I loved the church. I loved the Lord. And then I saw what happens when you do lose a parent, tragically, lose a loved one, and you have that support system to help you through those tough times, through those difficult times, and I was so blessed. I don't say any of this to brag or say, hey, I did all this. I mean this to say, you have a church home. You have a church family here. I mean that to say when things get rough, we're here. We're here to help. If your faith is weak, let us do all that we can to help you. Because it is the duty of the stronger in faith to help the weaker. We see this in Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, we see that if we lift up one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ. It is the duty, furthermore, of the shepherds to go after the lost sheep. I was so grateful for something that Sam had said. I don't know if I mentioned this to you But I mentioned this to some other people about how blessed we are with the elders that we have here. And one of the reasons is we had someone who was weak in the faith, who had decided that this person wasn't going to come. And Sam said, well, you know what? This person now has elders, now has shepherds to look after them, to go after them. And I didn't tell you this at the time, I don't think, but I muchly appreciate that. Not every eldership is like that. And that is exactly how we're supposed to be, how the elders are supposed to be in a church, in a congregation, going after the lost sheep. We see that in Luke 15 with the parable of the lost sheep. We see that in many places in Scripture, and I really appreciated that thought. In other words, if you start going astray, someone's coming after you. I don't mean in a bad way, of course. I mean someone is looking out for you, looking out for your soul. And let me tell you, that's a comforting thought, to have someone that is not just you, it's us. Ultimately, however, it's our decision. It's our choice. Despite all our best efforts, some still fall away. It would be so much easier, though, if they built their house on a stronger foundation. And that's what happens when you come to worship regularly. That's what happens when you pray regularly and study regularly. You apply these things to yourself. You hear and do. And your foundation gets stronger and stronger. Remember, that foundation is Jesus Christ. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. These concepts found here in the Sermon on the Mount are foundational to Christian living. David wrote in Psalm 11, verse 3, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Without a strong foundation built upon these principles, we will fall flat. We will fail. Since Christ is meant to be our foundation, well, does he falter? Does he fail? Does he ever get destroyed? No, certainly not. If Christ is our foundation is the strongest. I mean, you hear about diamonds being the strongest substance known to man. Well, Jesus Christ is stronger. We might not be building our house on him like we ought to. If our foundation fails, the fault doesn't lie with him, it lies with us. If we understand and do these things, we will understand our Lord so much more. But before you can start building that foundation, you need to make sure of a few things. Building that foundation is so paramount, so important. Before you can start building that foundation, you've got to know a few things. You've got to do a few things. First, you have to have the right tools, right? You have to have the right tools, and that those tools are the Scriptures. The tools are the things that Jesus had spoken. The tools are the things that the Holy Spirit had inspired. This is our toolbox. Some of you are very handy. I not as much. But some of you are very handy. You have a toolbox, right? You open that toolbox. You know how, you know, each tool that's in there. You know how exactly how to use each tool that's in there. As Christians, let us be master craftsmen when it comes to the Word of God. Let us study it. Let us learn about the tools that are presented in here. Know how to use those tools and how to best apply them. That's our toolbox, the best tools. We have to have the right location. And that location is in Christ. That location is in Christ. It is in His body. It is in His church. That is the right location where we need to be in order to build our foundation upon Him. And you need to get into Christ by becoming a Christian. Jesus says you've got to hear and do. Jesus says we've got to do the Father's will. Jesus also says that if we believe in him, we will not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus also says, repent. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Jesus also says, if we confess him before men, he will confess us before the Father. And Jesus also says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Each of those passages, if you've got a red letter edition of the Bible, each of those passages are in red. Hear and do, where we've talked about those in the Sermon on the Mount. Do the Father's will. Believe, John 3:16. Repent, Luke 13:3. Confess, Matthew 10:32. And be baptized, Mark 16:16. This is how we get into Christ. This is how we become a Christian. If you are a Christian but haven't been living like you should, if you have a weak foundation and need to shore it up, we stand ready to help. We want you to have, we're all pulling for you. We all want you to have that strong foundation. We don't want you to fail. We'll pray for you and do what we can to help you. And if you need to make things right with God, repent. Confess your sins to whomever you may need to, and pray to God. You might need help building and maintaining that foundation, and I pray that we can help you do just that. If you want us to help you and to pray for you, let us know. If you have a need, you want to make things right with God, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.